on microphone two. Have you heard the word Advent before? It's not a very Baptist word. Let me tell you. Advent is basically a season that many Christians observe and many churches observe in the time of expected waiting and a time of preparation for the celebration of the nativity of Jesus Christ at Christmas. An Advent, excuse the pun, ultimately comes from the Latin word coming. This coming is usually attached to a noteworthy person. During Advent, we prepare ourselves for this message of the baby Jesus coming, the Messiah born. We remember and the longing of the Jews for a Messiah. And our own longing and our own need of a Messiah who brings forgiveness and salvation and new beginning. And as we go through Advent, we look back and celebrate the birth of Jesus in that humble stable. We also look forward in anticipation. And this is the real key. We look forward to the second coming of our Messiah. We look forward during Advent, this time when the fulfillment of all things promised in the first coming comes to fruition. We've been doing this series called Jesus is More Than the Reason for the Season. And part of this season, I've got to tell you, is a little bit of a lament on my behalf. Part of it is because of the overall commercialism of Christmas. I was doing some research this week. How much do you reckon we will spend per person at Christmas time this year? The Australian Economist reckons that the average person will spend around about $955 per person. That's gifts and food. So just imagine this for a second. If you spend less than that, how much more are some people getting? I'm being ripped off, people. I have no idea. In 2015 and 2015, the Australians spent more than $8.5 billion at Christmas time. $8 billion. Someone pointed out something interesting, right? So in America, the day after Thanksgiving is what? Where's Jim? Where's Linda? Black Friday. Why is it called Black Friday? And that's when retailers go, this is where we take our year in the red and it starts to turn into the black for us. So let me put it to you this way. We're going to spend $8.5 billion on Christmas roughly this year. How much do you reckon the Australian government gives to foreign aid? About half of what we'll spend at Christmas. Do you know that $955 is less than the average Australian will give to charity this year? See, my lament is that this season of Advent served a real practical purpose. See, at Advent, part of it is this idea of fasting for things. Like, we get an anticipation going. All right, so I've decided, hey, I'm actually going to grab a hold of this, and I'm going to not drink Coke until Christmas Day. And can I tell you, my family is upset with me on that. The idea of fasting and preparing ourselves, that anticipation, oh, there's something great coming. See, and Advent was also not just thinking about ourselves and how much we can get or how much spend, but rather thinking about others. It's what we tell our children, right? It's better to give than receive. I got thrown a few videos. If you watch my television, you'll know the Jimmys, Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy, what's the other Jimmy? Fallon. Jimmy Kimmel, a couple of years ago, put this challenge to his audience members. He said, I want you to give a bad gift to your children and film it. A bad gift. So they did. They gave them a squishy brown banana, a used sponge. And the reactions of the kids were, look, honestly, what you would expect. One boy got a Barbie doll, okay? In front of his whole family. So you can imagine what that happened, yeah? Yeah, Finn, if you got given a Barbie doll, how would you react? They showed one video of this kid who was given a lump of coal, right? And he loses it. He grabs the Christmas tree and literally smashes it on the ground. All because of a Christmas Day joke. See, Advent, we're meant to be reminded about an anticipation and thinking about others and being grateful for what we have. But Advent is lost. Partly because we're Baptist and we don't like the idea of liturgy. That's, get rid of that, that's enough. But other things in Christmas have their meanings. Like, do you know why we put an evergreen tree in our house, in the front of our churches? Well, it does come from Europe. One of the kings? The idea of a green Christmas tree, a first lasting and evergreen tree, is this idea that Jesus is everlasting and he brings us new life. So we anticipate this coming of Christ, this anticipate the coming of something better, the anticipation of everlasting life that this baby Messiah would bring. What about a wreath? Who puts a wreath on their front door? Just curious, because I don't think it's a very Australian thing to do. There's a few people who... Why do we put Christmas wreaths up? Sorry? Because it's pretty. Hey, we can take that. But they're circular. They represent God's infinite love. They're usually, again, made up of evergreen leaves. Again, this is God's unending love for us, and it's about the hope of an eternal life that Jesus brings. Now, do you know with the Advent wreath, it's usually accompanied by four candles. Did you know this? Do you know what the four candles represent? See, each one of these candles is meant to represent a week, and these candles... a principle that we are to emphasize doing in our lives. Week one is about hope. The first candle we light is hope. Are you getting it? Advent is about hope. Week two is about peace. So not only do we have a hope, but we have a hope for an everlasting peace. Week three is about joy. Love. Actually, I told you a little bit of a porcupine. Advent wreaths don't have four candles, they have five. The fifth candle is usually white, and it's lit on Christmastide, on Christmas Day. For the purity, for the festiveness of this season for our church. We started this series by reminding ourselves that as Christians, we are not called to remember his birth. And truth be told, Advent is probably something that, well, they found records back to it at, what, 430 AD. And it's designed for a purpose. Advent is designed to help us reflect on what it means for Jesus to come into our world. This whole series is a bit of an Advent series to remind us why we should celebrate Christmas. We talked about things like his birth was talked about hundreds, if not thousands of years before it actually. We talked about celebrating Christmas because of who Jesus is. Today, I want to focus on celebrating Christmas because of the presents we get. Now, I'm not talking about the latest toy or gadget, but the gift that Jesus brings to us. And it's not... Actually, can you do me a favor? If you're taking notes in your bulletin, you'll see that it's all about the presents. In gifts written there, can you scribble that out and write presence as in being there? The whole meaning of the Advent season prior to Christmas is this: a gift from God is on the way. The reason we offer Christmas gifts to each other is to honor and reflect the perfect gift that God gave to us through a little baby boy born in Bethlehem named Jesus. And it is about God's presence on earth. The Messiah has come. I put that in deliberately, that bulletin point, to make an extra point, a different way of thinking. It is all about God's presence here. I remember a while ago I read a story about a missionary in Africa, and this story has stuck with me for a while. The missionary was teaching his students about the gift given at Christmas time, and he was talking about Christmas morning and how he would and his family would exchange gifts. And on Christmas morning, as he's about to sit down with his family, there's a knock on the door. And he opens it, and here is an African that this man had befriended. And in his hand is a seashell of absolute gorgeous beauty. When asked where had he discovered such an extraordinary shell, the man said that he walked many, many miles to a certain bay, the only spot where such shells could be found. The teacher thanked him and said, "It is wonderful of you to travel so far to get this lovely gift for me." The African's eyes brightened and he responded, "The long walk is part of the gift." In an effort to give us the perfect Christmas gift, God didn't send a general to lead an army. He didn't send a politician that likes to tweet, or a simple messenger. God sent himself. See, God gave the perfect gift of his Son. Because of who God is, we have the assurance he will continue to bless us with gifts. So there are gifts today that I want to remind you about this morning. So here is the first gift that God gives us. God gives us the gift of forgiveness. See, in the very beginning, we're presented with this story of sin and how it has created a barrier between us and God, and something. And here comes Jesus, and what we see is when the story concludes, Jesus comes with great news, a gift of salvation. Jesus provides forgiveness. And when we repent of our sins, when we confess them to Jesus, when we say, look, we are sorry that this has been a barrier between you and me, the Bible tells us Jesus is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's from 1 John 1:9. The first gift that God gives us is forgiveness. The second gift is eternal life. I think, though, it should be more eternal relationship with Him. When we step out in faith and claim Jesus as our Savior, and there is no longer a wonder. There is no longer a wonder where we will spend eternity. Put it this way, our heavenly reservations were made the first moment we repented of our sin and genuinely believed in Jesus as Lord. You know who invented Airbnb? Well, Jesus did, apparently. You made a reservation. I have confidence that when we die and as we approach the gates, if the record of our wrongdoings is brought forth, Jesus will stand there and say, no, 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 he's with me. She's with me. The mark of Christ will be visible upon us. Righteousness, his righteousness will cover us, and therefore the gates of heaven will be opened wide for us. The next gift that God gives us is a heart transplant. A surgical variety. If you're needing one, I am incredibly sorry about that. But we need a spiritual heart transplant. In Christ, and as we grow in relationship, our values are meant to start to change. Our attitudes start reflecting Jesus' attitudes. Our desires are not necessarily on the things of this world, but on the things of God's heart. And we pick up on His will in our lives. When we accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes residence deep within us and slowly starts to transform us from the inside out. See, education is a wonderful thing, but it doesn't necessarily touch the heart. You can read as many self-help books as you possibly can, but they may not change the value you have on your life. You can take all the courses you want, but it will not change if the will is not in line. But when Christ is enthroned as Lord of our life, He creates a fruit basket and overturns everything in our heart that is black and against Him. As the Bible declares, if a person be in Christ, he is a new creation. I'm looking out here today and seeing a bunch of new creations. The old things have passed away and all has become new. The fourth gift that is offered by Christ is inner peace. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. It's a gift that we want to give all the time, isn't it? Well, if you watch a universe pageant or something, you know, oh, what would you like to see?
I'd like peace to all men.
If you could come right now and say, I could give you one gift, anything you want, how many of us would say we want a world where we live in peace? And not just the absence of war, but inner peace as well. That dealing with that passion and anxiety, those inner fights that are happening. See, a lot of the time we have, well, we don't have inner peace, but rather inner war. A war between our selfish desires and the ways of God. But when a person accepts Christ, the war is meant to end because we have surrendered ourselves fully to Him. Christ sends an inner tranquility that no tranquilizer on earth can touch. My peace I give unto you, Jesus said, not as the world gives. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Celebrate Advent because God gives us the absolute perfect gift. God's great gift. Baby, born in Bethlehem, named Jesus. You look around this world today and you see there are so many people who are chasing all sorts of things, trying to calm the inner turmoil. If back for a second and ask, what do we really want for Christmas? What is the one gift that would really benefit you? Is it winning the lottery? Receiving a special gift from someone? Maybe it's a restoration of some relationship. Maybe you're getting a promotion at work, or you're looking forward to that Christmas gift of the big bonus. And while those things may be helpful, what many have discovered is these things never settle us deep inside. They are never enough to bring peace to our hearts. In our reading today, we see that the angel announces that God has given us this gift that will bring peace to all men. And Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In the world, we are going to have trouble, but take it because Jesus has overcome the world. And Jesus didn't come to give us simply a holiday. He didn't come so we could spend $955 per person at Christmas. He didn't come so we could decorate our houses. Jesus came to reconcile the world to Himself. To know God is to know peace. The fifth gift that God gives us, Luke 2:18 and 19. And all who heard it were amazed, and the shepherd said to them, but Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. It's an interesting choice of word there, isn't it? Ponder. I mean, Mary had a lot to ponder, didn't she? A young teenage woman who wasn't necessarily ready to give birth. She doesn't give birth in a nice, hygienic hospital. She gives birth in a stable. Our stables are known for their incredible cleanness, aren't they? And after his birth, stable, suddenly angels start showing up. Shepherds, if you believe the Christmas story, the Magi arrive then as well. Although, truth be told, in the Bible, the Magi come a little bit later. This baby is born, and suddenly there's all these people gathering around and singing, celebrating. and here she is holding this baby, this Messiah. If you believe classical artwork, from a very young age, this baby glowed like it lived in a radioactive factory. I wonder what Mary was thinking about. Max Licato describes it like this in his book, A Cosmic Christmas. Do you know who you hold, Mary? You have the author of grace in your arms. He who is ageless is now moments old. He who is limitless is now suckling your milk. He who strides upon the stars now has legs too weak to walk. The hands which held the oceans are now infants' fists. To him who has never asked the question, you'll teach the name of the wind. The source of language will learn words from you. He who has never stumbled, you will carry. He who has never hungered, you will feast. The King of creation in your arms. So the point of Advent is to prepare ourselves for what is coming, but as reflecting on what has come. How much time do you spend reflecting about the great things that God has given you this year? Thinking about, where do I stand with God? Or do you get so caught up in living that it becomes, well, the first thing to drop off our lists? If you've been looking at the bulletin, if you've been flicking and reading through the prayer points, which I hope you have, you would have noticed that in, what was it, the early November, we started putting in, give thanks for what God has done for your life in 2017. And someone came up to me and said, the year's not over yet, why are we doing that? Well, it's to give us a chance to stop and to ponder and to reflect. See, to ponder doesn't mean we brood or grieve or even just meditate. To ponder means we sit in wonder at God's greatness. See, we live in a t-shirt. Let me rewind. We've lost that today. We've lost that wonder of what God has done. Most of us have been there, done that, and brought the t-shirt. Nothing surprises us, nothing amazes us, nothing causes us to wonder. Even the Christmas story has become such old news. It is no big deal. We celebrate it at Christmas time. We talk about it. Hey, if we're lucky, we may even sing a few carols and give a few gifts. We'll invite the family around to celebrate. But we ceased to be amazed at the wonderful thing that God has done for us. When we realize that the God of heavens, the creator of the universe, desires to make a personal connection with each of us and demonstrates this through the birth of his son, Jesus Christ, that should cause us to be amazed. This picture of God stepping forward into our mess to deal with it is unlike anything else in this world. It should cause us amazement. Every day we should praise God for the precious gift that he has given us. Or should I say the precious gifts he has given us. Gifts that will last for time and eternity. Jesus, my friends, is more than a reason for a season. This is the greatest gift that God could give us. and that is His love. Why did God do it? I mean, here we were on opposite sides, and God steps into our mess. Because His love was greater. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's another old story. I like old stories. You can tell this is old because it's about polishing shoes. Who here has polished shoes in the past? Look at all these people polishing shoes. You just wrecked my joke, but it's okay. Account to you. A while back, there was this mother. She was like most mothers and was very busy on Christmas Eve. I mean, she was wrapping presents, preparing to take her family to the Brookside Christmas Eve carols event at 6:30 on the 24th here at Brookside. Oh, sorry, that's the ad. Whoops. I mean, here she is. She's trying to get her family ready. Suddenly, she is that the shoes she was planning to wear were scuffed up badly and needed a shine. She said to her 8-year-old son, who was bubbling with excitement and energy, "Can you take out some old newspaper out to the back porch and try to shine my shoes without making a mess?" First mistake, 8-year-olds make mess. The child is eager to please, especially on Christmas Eve. So off he went. And a little while, he brought these shoes back, so nicely shined. The mother was impressed, and she reached out to give him some money, along with a hug and a thank you. That evening, she was getting dressed. She started to put on her shoes, but realized there was something inside of them. No, it wasn't mud, but rather a piece of paper wrapped around the money. And written in this childish scrawl was a message. "I done it for love. I shined your shoes, Mum, because I love you." See, every year I need reminding. I need reminding the significance of this season, of the importance of the coming of Christ. And I need to be reminded about how event isn't about how much I can spend. It's not about how much I can eat. It's the joy of hope we have in a small baby born in Bethlehem. Did you notice the Christmas tree as you came in? Did you notice what's sitting under the Christmas tree? The Jesus. The Emmanuel. The God with us, the world's most perfect gift. And the question that we have to ask is, have we really accepted this gift? Because if you haven't, why not? This is the perfect time to do it. What better time to say, you know what? I actually want to be in relationship with Jesus. I want to accept this gift, His forgiveness, eternal life, a gift that can change the way we can see ourselves and others, a gift of hope, of peace, of wonder, and ultimately a gift of His love. My friends, we are meant to be reminded every time we see a Christmas tree, hey, that greenness is about the eternity of Christ. See, that's why we have a plastic tree. It lasts forever. Every time we knock on a front door and see a wreath, we're meant to be reminded, hey, that is about God's unending love for us. Every time we see the stats on the news of how much we are spending, we are meant to be reminded, no, the important thing about Christmas is Christ here on earth. Advent is meant to refocus us on Christ. Advent is meant to start us off at that point. In a world that's becoming more and more secular, and we are celebrating, well, we celebrate Christmas and Easter still. So we should tell our families, no, the point of Christmas is to focus us on Christ. And his gifts. Forgiveness, eternal life, a gift that changes us, a gift that brings hope, peace, wonder, a gift given purely out of love. Let's pray. Father, I want to take a moment to thank you, Lord, that while we still have that barrier between us, you sent your Son to die for us. Father, we pray that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to the true spirit of Advent. Lord, that we would take time to be thankful, that we would take time to think of others. So, Father, we pray. Father, I want to pray for anyone here as well who is still wondering where they stand with this. Who is Jesus? Why should I believe in him? Father, I pray that you would reveal yourselves to them, that you would show them about your great love. So, Father, we thank you for our time. We pray, Lord, that you would have your way with us. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. All right, I'd like to invite the band to come up and lead us in another song.